Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a rad artist, the winner of the Toys on Tap sculpt contest for an 8-centimeter Sufubi piece produced by and with Toys on Tap. Fabricio comes on and talks all things digital design and 3D design and then toy sculpting and now toy production. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you want to support Toys on Tap in a free way, you can like, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. And if you want to jump on and support us a little bit more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap, where we get all kinds of cool stuff. Those that support the Patreon will actually be receiving a free Frank figure blank when they are produced, because we absolutely love the supporters of Toys on Tap. So thank you for that. Now let's get into this episode of Toys on Tap.
I think it's working out, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry, man.
No, I'm glad you were able to get on, man. You're actually coming in clutch. I realized that we had never had you on an episode, even though you won the comp and we're about to make a toy together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I wanted to make it happen and get it out this week. And so I'm pumped to have you on. Thanks for making it happen.
No, thanks for having me on, man.
Of course, appreciate. Every episode starts the exact same way. The artists that listen to this and all the toy collectors need to know who you are and what you do. So tell me about those things.
Well, I'm Fabricio. I'm based in Brazil now. I'm a 3D artist and a toy designer. But like the toy designer thing is something new to me. You know, I've been mostly working as 3D artist. Actually, the beginning of my career, I started out as a 2D artist, illustrator. And then I moved to 3D like later on. I think it was 2025 when I started working with 3D. So, but yeah, I've been like enjoying this journey so far. You know, like there's this new AI thing, you know, like changing our career now. So
yeah, there's a crazy AI, man, I wish I remembered what it was called. I just saw it pop up where you like, because the AI already exists. If you throw up an image, it'll make some kind of a 3D sculpt.
Yeah.
But now there's one that will divide the piece up, or divide the picture up into pieces and make the sculpt for you. Oh. And that's getting crazy. Like I hate that so much for all the 3D sculptors.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really concerned about that. You know, I think that's what made me like try something different. And also because I was a bit tired of like working with like animation and games. I really like it. But I don't know, even when you work for like, let's say a big franchise, it is still like not your voice, not your idea. You are working on someone else's idea. And I think the toy universe can give me the opportunity to express me, like my experiences as an artist. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about this later, but your design of Frankenstein is your own take on a very well-known character, which I think that's why people responded so well to it and wanted it, because it's really hard to come up with something new for something that's so old.
Yeah.
And you seem to nail it when it came to Frank. So I'm really pumped about that. But we're going to walk it back. Tell me about where you grew up and the cartoons and the toys you had growing up.
Well, I grew up in a small town. I'm living in São Paulo now, so it's a big city. But I grew up in a very small town. It's in the countryside. So, we didn't have many options. Mm-hmm. So, to buy, something different. So, I had some, toys and but the very basic ones like G.I. Joe's. I think it was the first thing that I saw that me collecting something, you know, was G.I. Joe. So and I really enjoy like taking them apart and like making new variations of them, you know. And also like growing up in the 80s, you know, I watch a lot of like movies, you know, there's a lot of like monster movies. So I think that inspired me a lot, you know. And the idea of that, the Frankenstein was like, I don't know, I wanted to try something simple, you know. And I think his shapes are like mostly like square shapes, you know. And it's basically like a big block and also like some small parts. But yeah, I think I grew up like playing with toys a lot until the point that I was like, was not comfortable anymore, like going to a store, because I think I was too old to buy toys. But yeah, I think I was like, I didn't want to play with them anymore. But like, for some reason, I like to see how they were designed, you know. So I think I was a collector, but we don't have. I don't think I was thinking about like being a collector at the time, you know. I just enjoy having them and keeping them in my shelf. And this idea of like being a collector came later. Yeah.
Tell me about the countryside and in Brazil and like not having many options. I just was in Belize in May and we were in a small town and one of my favorite things to collect are bootleg toys. So toys that I like to say like toys that are 2 degrees away from what they should be. And so like I have one next to me that comes from Mexico that I absolutely love. But I was in Belize and there was this Barbie-esque figure and it said from the Barbic movie. So like even the text was a little wrong and like it was a different toy. When you say you didn't have a lot of options, are we talking that you had some of the toys that would have been in the US or just toys that were made in Brazil, toys that we wouldn't know about?
Yeah, I think both things, but probably the same toys you have in the US, but like not like a big variety of them, you know, just like the main ones like G.I. Joe's. But we also had, I think at the time, like the toy industry in Brazil was a big, like stronger than it is now. So yeah, we probably had some like some Brazilian brands, you know. But I think like the American things, they were like most popular here.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave, go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys
We talk about old toys
and new toys,
and toys that we
and
make.
we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
Hey, I'm all right with that. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be,
Yeah, you could. Who
but you
knows?
gotta check it
Anyway,
out.
Toy
Toy
Rats,
Rats.
YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
And I mean, talking about figures, you know, and but I think even though it was a like a American brand, I think some of the G.I. Joes they were produced here in Brazil, so I think it was a bit different. So I heard a story that because of that, so they I think they made like a variation of one G.I. Joe figure. Or I'm not sure if it's G.I. Joe, if it's Star Wars. I think it's a Star Wars. So they made in Brazil. And this figure now is a very like it's very hard to find. So it made this figure very expensive. It's like a very unique item to a collector because they made it only in Brazil. So it's really hard to find.
I love that. That's awesome. Now I want to go do a deep dive and figure out what toy that is.
Yeah. I think it's a Star Wars figure. Yeah.
I mean, art has got to play a part of who you are. So when did, like, you can see it in your design, you can hear about it when you talk about you do 3D design and stuff. Tell me about how this starts. Where does art kind of start for you? Is it in primary school and secondary? Where are you at?
Well, yeah, I think it was from the young age. For some reason, like I could draw, you know, like comparing to like people around me, like they could. So I noticed that from early ages. I have a memory of like from my brother. He's 2 years older than me, and there was one day he had like a homework school, and he had to draw like it was a fisherman, and he was so mad because he couldn't draw. So and like he's my older brother, so he's a reference to me. So I wanted to make him happy. So I told him I think I can do that, you know. So I tried to draw, and it was easy for me. And once like he started to see like the figure getting shape, you know, he started to smile. So I have this memory like drawing something that makes people happy, you know. And for some reason, it was easy to me. I would put like a drawing like, and then try to copy that drawing on the side. And yeah, it was easy to me. And my parents, they all encouraged me, you know, just giving me like art supplies. And it was a natural path for me to become an artist, you know. Actually, I always wanted to do that. I didn't know how, because it was a small town, so we didn't have many information about what it would be like to be an artist. And so I think the first like idea I had was to be a comic artist, because we have like comic books there. So we didn't know how, but I know some way people like drew this, so this is what I want to do, you know. But it takes some time to figure out that like making a comic book is different than just making an illustration, right? Because you got to be able to tell a story. But I think I was more like in the illustration side. But because comics was the only option, you know, where we could see some nice drawings, I think I had this feeling that I wanted to be a comic artist. But yeah. I still like this universe, yeah.
That, I mean, having... You're kind of describing like the 90s for US kids as well. Like we get the 90s comic books are so crazy looking. Like all the heroes have like massive muscles that don't actually exist, and pockets everywhere. And every kid is like trying to figure out how to draw Marvel and DC. Thank God that is like – that era of comic drawing is a little gone, because there's other things that look better. I mean, that's cool. Did you stick with art then? Like, what does that look like as you kind of leave that and go into, did you go to university down there?
Oh no. I think now we have some like art universities or like digital art universities, but at the time we didn't have that option. So I went to like university for, I wanted to be a history teacher. I mean, that was the second option.
Yeah.
But after the first year, like I dropped, how do you say, drop out? Yeah, I dropped out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know I felt like, oh, I like history, but, you know, I think the art thing, it's way stronger.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try something in that way. And I have some parents, like they live, like some family members, they live in a city that is 1 hour from here. It's a bigger city. So I found out that there were some like art courses there. So I went for it, you know. And there are some coincidences in life. You know, turns out like the my aunt's neighborhood, he's a great artist. I mean, that now he works for Marvel, you know. So he already worked on Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, and it was such a great coincidence. So because this guy, he helped me a lot, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy to have that kind of a coincidence happen. And also a bummer that there wasn't an art school. That means after you kind of said goodbye to like university stuff, when did you want to start following art? Like, how did you get into that? Is it just those classes? Like, how'd you, because so much of that depends on, like, your current job depends on this stuff. So how'd you finally, like, plug in art more?
Yeah, this guy that I mentioned, his name is Marcelo Ferreira.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped me a lot. Also, like, not just, like, teaching me, but also, like, he helped me to find a job in a new city. And I think the first job I got was like, you know, like those stained glasses that they have in churches.
Yeah.
So I work for a stained glass company. So the owner is like a guy from Holland. So he came to Brazil like because of the World War II. So that was my very first job with art. Although it was like completely different from what I do now, like it was more like a classic drawing, you know. I think that gives me like a really strong foundation, you know.
That's amazing to be
Yeah.
taught by someone that works at Marvel or worked at Marvel. That's an insane, no one gets that kind of attention, which is really cool.
And also because he's this guy, he's very his style is very versatile. He worked with like a drawing for kids and like advertisement, you know. So he wanted to teach me that way. So because of that, we explored like a lot of like traditional painting and digital painting. And so and when I got to learn like digital painting, I started to buy some magazines. And then I saw a advertisement for a 3D course, you know, and I thought it was like 3D was something just for like Pixar, you know. I didn't think that was something that you could do at home, you know, using your like regular PC, you know. And then when I saw some like illustrations made in 3D, I was really amazed by. So I decided to take this course, but at the time it was just something to add to my resume, you know. I wasn't thinking really change my career, but because I already had this strong foundation in traditional arts, learning 3D was quite easy, you know. Like I already had like a good sense of like composition and anatomy, you know, all those things. So it was just a matter of learning a new tool.
It's crazy the amount of different arts that you have done because the like to go from drawing and that style to doing art with stained glass, that's an intense art. That's so crazy to do. There's so many churches in the US that are so old that have stained glass everywhere, and it's an insane thing to see. And then to or do you know the artist Ophelia Toys? Have you ever heard of
By
that
the name,
artist?
I don't know, but like if I see something, probably
Yeah,
because it's a
so
small word, right?
he actually bought a church to live in and to do a
Whoa.
toy gallery. And
Oh, nice.
the area that he does the gallery space in has stained glass all around it. And it's insane to see.
Whoa. It's in the US?
Yeah, in the southern part of the US, yeah, in the south. To do that and then to get into like digital animation, like you have all these different things and different styles of art. What year is it when you get into the digital animation part?
Yeah, I think once I start to learn 3D, there was a studio here in Brazil, and like everyone in the 3D area, they wanted to work for them, and it's a studio based in Rio. So I really loved their work. Like the first time I saw it, I thought I need to work for them, you know. And I think it took me 1 year. So I work hard, and after 1 year, they noticed me, and yeah, I got a chance to work for them. So I had to move to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and that was amazing. And I think for me at the time, it was like working for Pixar, you know, because I grew up in a small town, and then I thought now I'm here in Rio working for them. You know, it was a big dream for me. So once I accomplished that, I thought, well, I think I can do more than that, you know. And I always wanted to be, I'm very shy, you know, an introspective person, but I always to be, I mean, not me, not my person, but I want my work to reach as much people as possible. So I had this dream to work in big franchises, you know. I remember just back into the drawing classes, my very first class, I asked the teacher, do you think is, because at the time I was reading to like Japanese, like anime. So in my very first class, the drawing class, I asked the teacher, do you think it's possible to live in Japan as an artist? And he said, no, because, okay. Yeah, because Japan is a very close country. And then like, I mean, it was not with like drawing, mm-hmm. but I made it, you know, I worked in Japan for 3 years with animation. So
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like what type of animation did you do in Japan? Like anime stuff, more like Pixar-esque type stuff. Where'd you work?
Yeah, it was a 3D, a 3D company, but they do both like 2D and 3D animation.
Okay.
So like all the Pokemon movies were made by them.
Okay.
The classic ones. Yeah. So
did you work on those ones, or are you not old enough to have worked on those ones?
I mean, not those ones, but they did like a 3D version of the first Pokemon movie.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really amazing. I mean, I was hired to work in a TV show, like a 3D mm-hmm. TV show. And after this show, it was 1 year working for the show. And after the show, I worked in a Pokemon movie, which was amazing. Yeah.
That's insane. Going from that, did you move back to, is that when you moved back to Brazil and started pursuing it again here?
Yeah. I mean, I lived there for 3 years in Japan. Uh-huh. I came back to Brazil before the pandemic started. And I mean, even though it's really nice to work for animation, you know, I also work for some game companies. I still had that feeling that, oh, this is not my voice. You know, I got to do something to express what I feel and how I see the world, you know. And I think that's how toy design came mm-hmm. to me, you know, and also because I think I was like doing some 3D personal projects, you know, and I tried to give like a toy look to the works that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to like try like a realistic render to make look like a real toy. So and I started to think, why don't I do like a real thing, you know, instead of like doing digital, maybe I should try something like real, you know. And I've been really enjoying it so far, you know, but there's still like a lot to learn. You know?
That's incredible. So tell me about the jump from 3D or 2D digital design to toys. That seems like it's an easy jump, but those are very different. Mm-hmm. Before we get to Frank, is he your first design, or did you design a lot of things before him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Actually, there are like a lot of like figures that I did before Frank.
Yeah.
That I print them now, and then like I already paint them, but like the timeline, they came before Frank, and they look like a toy, you know, already. I have some. Sure. Can I show you?
Yeah.
There's another version of like this figure here, like
okay,
and it's a Wolverine.
He's cool.
Yeah, and there's this Colossus figure I also made.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
we may have to talk about getting you licenses. Holy moly!
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different, like because I think if you want to get more attention, it's easier to like just do a version of those famous characters, right?
Yeah.
Like before moving to your own IPs, you know, I think, but also like I enjoy doing that, you know, like those kind of mixing this like toy style with things that I love, like comics, you know.
Yeah, those are great. What is like, when did you start toys, and when, like, what was the first toy that you designed?
The first one, I think Frank was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I painted and did like all the process, like finishing and painting. So I learned how to paint with Frank.
Okay.
With her first version. I asked my friend to print to me because I didn't have a print at home. So he printed and he sent me, and I bought like all the, I watched like a bunch of like YouTube videos and trying to learn how to paint and how to use an airbrush. It was very fun. I mean, it was hard in the beginning because there, when you watch like YouTube videos, you only see like the, if the process works, like smooth, it's okay. But when you have to deal with some mistakes, you don't know how to fix them.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
That working is with, too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do your own toys, right?
Yeah. You know, I've moved away from it. But I do design my own, or will do resin if I want to do that stuff. But usually it's like...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures. DKE.
The last one I did was the Fur Berserker. That's what it was called. And it was printed and all that stuff. But it was like the most time intensive painting because it was like so many different colors and all that stuff. And so, yeah, people that are good at painting and good at airbrush and good at all those things, I envy you because, man, I am not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something that I noticed like after a few time, because using the airbrush, like I kind of printed Frank, like the first version, in a way that would be easier for me to paint, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't have to use masks, you know, because like all the parts that they were like splitted, like, so there are many parts. So I didn't have to worry about like having a brush control, you know, because everything was easier to, I made it easier for me to paint because I don't have much experience. But when I start to use a brush, I noticed that, oh man, I'm terrible for that. I need to practice more. So I started to, just for the practice of like brush stroking, I start to try something like some miniatures and dioramas and some like D&D figures, you know, just to have more brush control. So to help me to the toy like design thing, you know.
Yeah. What was the learning curve like with sculpting toys, going from 2D digital design to this? Like, how long did that really take you to figure out how to sculpt a toy?
I think before the pandemic, I had like some short experience, like trying to design a few things for 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me, I don't know, like 3 months, you know. I was doing like everything by myself, and then I started to see some like video tutorials, and they were doing like basically the same thing that I was doing by myself. So I think, well, I think I'm in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's a lot of like because I design them, so, and then I print them, so I think it's easier to figure it out, like what's going to be easier to paint. So I may be split this in a few parts, or like maybe just do an entire part, you know. So
yeah.
I think because I do both things, I think it's easier to understand like that process.
Yeah. Tell me about your style. There's something interesting about your style. The Wolverine piece and the Colossus piece and the Frank all have this kind of like chibi almost design style. It takes like pretty brutal things. Like Frankenstein's a crazy monster. Wolverine and Colossus both insane looking, but it makes them cute, but you still know who they are. Like, tell me about the style that you've developed over time.
Well, I think it's a mix of all the influences I have.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up watching some horror movies, you know, but I love like Pixar and Disney movie styles. And I got a chance to work with a former Disney artist, and mm-hmm. she was a great artist, and she working with her like was really nice, you know, and she put like attention and things that I didn't know that they exist, you know, and I think the silhouette is very important, mm-hmm. you know, to get like the idea. And I learn a lot from her, you know. So I think my work is a kind of mix of like Pixar style and cute things,
yeah.
With like some superhero stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a crazy take on those mm-hmm. things, and it makes your work stand out, which is really cool. I think we get to this at this point. We get to, you know, I hosted that competition was a month ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think we had ever talked before then. I just had started this idea where it was like, I want to produce toys of different people and, give people a chance and, produce toys that other people want produced. And I think that was where it kind of started. And when you sent me Frank, it was like, oh my gosh, like this for sure is going to be a front runner. Like that's awesome. Just how it's based and all the different parts of it. Tell me about the competition, sculpting it, getting it ready and submit all that stuff on your end.
Yeah, that was another like such a fun like coincidence because you mentioned that you wanted like at least like 80 centimeters, the figure. Mm-hmm. And then I already had like a smaller version of him. Mm-hmm. And then I thought he was like bigger than, I thought he was around like 13 centimeters. I'm sorry, like we use centimeters here.
No, that's okay. For Safubi, yeah. That's what I use as well. So go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then when I measure like Frank, like the figure I had was exactly 80 centimeters.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh man, I think this was made for this contest.
It's perfect. I mean, that size is based off of, as a little like backstory to that, the reason I chose 8 centimeters is because there is a company called US Toys, and they make little Safubi pieces. And I have this like Conigon piece, 8 centimeters, 3.15 inches, I think.
Oh, nice.
And this figure like is crazy because it has 5 points of articulation being at 8 centimeters. So I started figuring out that people don't have as much shelf space.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a way to make toys that people want on their shelves or collectible and stuff in that size. Yeah. And so that was really cool to be able to do. So, So like you already had the 8 centimeter thing, which was awesome. I think a lot of people struggled because it's such a small.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. You aren't able to do as many details as you want because it has to be a little more blocky. But you submitted, and on day, I think it was like day one or two, because it ran for a week, it was like running a little behind. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it like took by storm and it just came through.
I was really happy to see that. I saw like there was like I like all the designs overall, but there was like I don't know, two or three of them that I thought, man, it's gonna be hard to beat them because they're really good. But this is something new to me. I mean, everything is new, but like when I thought about art toys, I think about them being big. Mm-hmm. But when I printed that Frank 80 centimeters, I really liked them, you know, because the first prototype of Frank, it was like in between. And then I made like like a final version that I have here. Like, can I show you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was way bigger, like than like this.
Because you're currently making the 8. Oh, the big one is so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're currently making the 8-centimeter one prototype.
Yeah. So they are almost done. I just need to paint the like the hands and some add some details here. But when I start to see those small figures, I thought, well, like, I think there's a new possibility because I think it would be fun to make some small figures too.
Yeah.
I would collect more if I had more room here.
Yeah.
But like, if you see my collection, I have some big figures and some small figures and some very tiny figures, you know.
Yeah.
I don't stick to just one like type of like thing. So I think I try to do that with my work too. Like, I try to experiment with like larger figures and some small ones, you know. And I think what is hard for me is just to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think, oh, I don't have to pick one, you know. I've listened to like a few episodes of your podcast, and I think many artists that you brought here, like, they do a lot of stuff, not only toys, you know, like they do graffiti and illustration, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay to be like that person to doesn't stick to just one thing, you know.
Yeah, it is cool. I've been pumped. The wax is done, which I'm really excited about. The mold is almost done. The piece is, it's a cool piece, and I'm excited to get it done. And I think it'll be done by DesignerCon, which is in November. And so the cool part is that this is your first production toy, and it's going to be sold at DesignerCon and at our booth. And it's going to be, I'm only worried about one thing. There has been other people down in Brazil that I've tried to send things to, and I'm really nervous because I'm going to send you a bunch of them, and I get really nervous sending to Central and South America because they, for some reason, all those packages either disappear or they keep coming back. And so maybe you can help me figure that out, but I can't wait to send you a box of Franks that you can then do what you will with.
Yeah, well, I think the best thing, because it is hard in Brazil. Like,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of do with, sorry, like with the tax thing, you know, like they see something and that they are gonna like put a lot of taxes on it. So I think the best way to do that is to talk to someone with his like work with this, like to import things to Brazil. I gotta do that, you know, in advance.
Yeah,
because if you just try to do by yourself, you are like you probably will have a bad time. Yeah,
but I can't wait. I'm excited. It's been fun working through this process, and we got to start figuring out color callouts and all that stuff. And so I'm really excited, especially with packaging. Packaging is one of my favorite things, and so figuring out what to do for Frankenstein, there's so much that could happen, right? Like, he is he is a crazy character, and so I've thought about the idea of like a castle little box that he comes in, or like some fake little laboratory box or some kind of, and so there's all kinds of things, so I can't wait to talk to you more about that. What's so for you now that you have a toy that's coming through production and you're working with toys and doing all that kind of stuff, what does this look like for you? What's next? What do you want to do?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to see what's going to happen next. You know, I think I need to work more because I spent like 1 year like trying to figure out how to make a toy and learning how to paint and giving like a nice finish to it. I think now I gotta work more on the social part, you know, so I'll try to boost my like Instagram and I don't know, trying to find more places to share my work.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsoring Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
So I think I need to focus more on that part, you know, the to promote my work more, to promote my work better, you know, and, because I think I'm in a good, I'm in a sweet spot where I can, I'm confident that I can do like another toy like Frank and keeping like the level of the quality. But I think being on social media is like something that's, it's a bit like challenge to me, you know.
Yeah,
I'm very shy, so I gotta work out that.
Yeah,
but I don't have a design for. I thought about like making the classic monsters, so I already have a design for Dracula, the
awesome
vampire. Yeah,
awesome.
I can send you. Yeah,
it might be a whole team up thing that we end up doing. Yeah. That's amazing. The last part of the podcast is all about you plugging all your stuff as the artist, any projects you've got coming up or how people can get in touch with you. So please plug all your information.
Yeah, I have more works on ArtStation. Like I have a portfolio there, mm-hmm. but also I think Instagram is the best way to contact me. And I already have like some toys done. I just need to photograph them. Like I was trying to film like the whole process, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that would be interesting to see. So yeah, I'm planning to show more of my stuff, like the stuff I'm doing like behind the scenes, because I don't know, I have about like 5 toys that are already done. I just need to like make a nice photograph of them, and I'm deciding if I'm filming like the whole process for all of them. And I don't know. I can't wait to see what comes next. I think maybe like be part of like one of those events. Do you think it's worth to go to events? And because we don't have many events here.
Yeah.
But in America, you have some big events, right?
So, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Designer Con,
Collected Con. Mm. I mean, Comic Con's here. There's not many that sell there. G-Fest, there's all kinds of them.
And Asia as well, right?
Like there's so many in, yeah. Mushroom Toy Fest, Taipei Toy Fest. Like there's so many shows and everything happening in China, Japan, Taiwan, Thailand, all over the place.
Yeah, I would be happy to see my work in one of those like conventions. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I should plan for the next year.
Yeah. Hey, Fabrizio, it was so good having you on Toys on Tap. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, I thank you for the opportunity. It was really great to be part of your contest. I think it's a very nice you giving the opportunity to like new artists to show their work, you know. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Heck yeah.